Amen. Thank you.
Praise God for it. Take your Bible. Turn with me, please, to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2. The book of 2 Timothy chapter number 2. We're continuing with our study through the book of 2 Timothy together, our New Testament book. And we've come to chapter 2, verse number 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1. The word of God says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman or the farmer that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." If you mark your Bible, I want you to mark one word in verse number 7. And it's the one word, consider. The one word, consider. That's my title, my topic, my theme, and my text is the word, consider tonight. Let's pray together. Our Father, we love you this evening. And we thank you for the privilege of holding a copy of your word in our hands. Help us not to ever take that for granted. And I pray that you help us to be faithful here at Buffalo Ridge, to read your word, to memorize your word, to obey your word, to teach and preach your word. Help us to do what you'd have us to do. May you take this message and apply it to tonight to our hearts and our lives. Encourage us now, I pray. Speak to me and speak through me to these dear people. Bless us now. Draw us close to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. In chapter 1 of this wonderful book, we saw how Paul is currently sitting in a Roman prison cell. His days of public preaching and missionary journeys are over. He's nearing the end of his God-blessed life, and what a mighty soldier of the cross he truly was. And the first 5 verses of chapter 1, we saw several things about Paul himself, about being an apostle. Then in the rest of chapter 1, he was reminding Timothy, if you remember, of some things that he was never to forget. Remember, he said, "I put thee in remembrance of some things." And those things were the gifts, the gospel, and the guidelines. Now we've come to chapter 2 of this book. In the opening 7 verses of this chapter, we see a major thought come out for our attention tonight. Now, notice in verse number 7 where Paul says, "Consider what I say." Now, I want to take that one word, consider, and preach a while on it. Now, this word means to think about. It means to exercise the mind on. It means to observe. In other words, the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy to take special notice of the words that he has just spoken to him. Now, I want to take this same word and look into these verses. After all, what Paul is saying to Timothy under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God is still what the Lord is saying to his children today. Therefore, if Timothy was to consider these things, so are we. There's 3 major things I see in these opening 7 verses of this chapter that I see that Paul told Timothy to consider. Number 1, the first thing he noticed and told Timothy, he said, "Son, I want you to consider, number 1, consider the power you need. Consider the power that you need." Look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Now, it's beneficial for us to be reminded how the church at Ephesus, which is where Timothy was the pastor at this time, was characterized at this writing. I'm talking about when Paul was writing this down, the church at Ephesus, where Timothy was at this time as the pastor, it was characterized by a time of doctrinal error and sinful behavior. In other words, Timothy is in a situation where the message that he preached may not be taken. He was in a situation where he's not ministering at a time when a church is right here in unification. This church is torn all to pieces. Now, with this being the case, Paul tells Timothy, he said, "Son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Now, the words "be strong" here means to be empowered. It means to be strengthened. Now, Paul is instructing Timothy here that he needs to be strong, to be empowered, to be strengthened in the midst of trials and troubles of life. He was not to cower away from the present circumstances. He was to boldly proclaim the truths of God's holy word. And the only way he could do this, Paul was telling him this, was to be strong in the grace that's found in Christ Jesus. In a nutshell, what Paul is saying to Timothy is, son, you need to be strong in the Lord, not in yourself. He's telling Timothy that the Christian life is a life of dependence. He's telling Timothy that if you're ever going to stand in the midst of these trials, you're ever going to stand in the midst of apostasy, you're ever going to stand in the midst of doctrinal error, you must find your power in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying, consider the power you need. He's telling Timothy that the only way he can stand firm in this evil day is to be empowered by the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Zechariah 4:6, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. John 15:4-5, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Now, draw your attention to this fake tree over here. Now, key emphasis, it's fake. But let's just pretend tonight that it is real. Now, it's about as tall as I am, which means some of you can't see it. But anyway, this is a fake tree, but I'm going to show you what Paul is saying to Timothy. Paul is saying, Timothy, I want you to consider what I'm saying. And the first thing I want you to consider, son, is that you do need to be strong. This is a day of doctrinal error. This is a day of apostasy, and you are to be strong. You do need power, but you are to have power not in yourself, but in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He's saying you need God's power to make it through this life. And he's saying this right here in John chapter 15. Let's just pretend here that these branches are a picture of you and I. Now, folks, just play with me, okay? I understand that this is fake. But just play with me. This branch right here has no life in itself. If you take that branch and cut it off and sever it from the trunk there, I don't care how beautiful the branch may look, there's no strength in it. See, the life in the branch does not come from the branch, it comes from the vine. And Jesus Christ saying, listen, the strength to make it in life is not in yourself. The strength to make it in life is found in the vine. And Jesus said, I am the vine. And you are the branches. And I'm telling you what Paul is saying. He's saying, Timothy, you need to understand something. This Christian life is not a life of self-dependency. This Christian life is not a do-it-yourself life. It is a life of total dependence upon the power of God. You know, in the same way, the Christian life is not a do-it-yourself life either. It's a life of complete dependence and trust on the Lord as our strength and power. You know what he's telling Timothy to consider? He's saying, Timothy, consider you need God's help in your life. And you know, in the same way, we all have to have God's help in our life. You can't make it without the Lord's help. You can't make it without the Lord's, neither can I. That's the way the Christian life is made. That's just the way it is. We cannot do anything without God, yet he's just fine without us. He doesn't need us. We need him. There's a little chorus that says, Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. All I need. For me he died. I think it's how it goes. Is that how it goes? He was crucified. For me he died. Jesus is all I need. Folks, let me tell you something. He's all we need. But so many times, how many times do we think as a branch that we can just live without staying connected to the vine? He's saying, son, consider number one, the power you need. You cannot make it on your own. Secondly, he gives him a second thing to consider. And that is not only the power he needs, but secondly, the passing of truth. Look at verse number two. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul brings out a wonderful truth here for all of us to understand. Now notice how Paul tells Timothy that the things he had heard of him, he was to take and commit to faithful men who would then take it and commit it to others. Now notice the meaning of some of these words. Notice the word heard here. It says, and the things that thou hast heard. You know what that word heard means? It means to place in another's trust. It means to commit for safekeeping. Powerful word. Then the word commit, where he says the same, commit thou to faithful men, that means to place alongside of. It means to present it. It means to deposit it. In other words, Paul is saying, Timothy, what God used me to place in your trust for safekeeping, he's saying, don't change it, don't alter it, don't add to it, don't take away from it. The same, you take it and you commit it, you present it, you deposit it, you place it alongside of faithful men who then will take it and give it to others. In all of this, we see a beautiful picture of the passing of truth. See, Paul is reminding Timothy that the doctrines that he had were given to him for safekeeping. And in turn, he was to take these same doctrines and give them to faithful men who would in turn give them to others. In this, we see a beautiful picture of the truths of God's word as they're passed down from one generation to the next generation, to the next generation. Paul wanted Timothy to consider how the word of God was passed to him, and he was to pass it on. He was to make sure these truths did not stop with him. He was to guard them and give them away. Now, in these verses, we see four groups of people mentioned. You have Paul, you have Timothy, you have faithful men, and you have others. In other words, Paul gave it to Timothy. Timothy was to give it to faithful men, and faithful men were to give it to others. You know, in the same way, we who have the truth have had a Paul in our lives. Are you following me, what I'm talking about? In other words, if you have the truth tonight and sitting in Buffalo Ridge, I know you do. If you have the truth tonight, it's because Paul gave it to you. I'm not talking about the Apostle Paul. I'm talking about every one of God's children are in these four groups somewhere. I got the truth because I had Paul in my life. One of my Pauls was Dr. Gene Lashley. He passed the truth to me. Mr. Kaiser passed the truth to me. My parents passed the truth to me. Dr. Clarence Sexton passed the truth to me. Brother Scott Pauley passed the truth to me. I'm saying everybody who has the truth has a Paul in their life. I want you to think about your Paul tonight. Think about him. It may be a parent. It might be a preacher. It may be a soul winner. I don't know who it is, but I know you have a Paul. You know what Paul's telling Timothy? He's saying, I fought to give it to you. Now, son, you make sure it doesn't stop with you. You make sure you now give it to others. You know, it's an illustration here of a race. I'm talking about one of these races with track runners, where there's four of them. You know, like the mile relay, if you will, where each runner runs one lap. And as they run one lap, they are to keep the baton in their hand. They are to run with all their might. They are to give their best effort. But there comes a time when they must hand the baton off. It's not encouraging, but it happens to everybody.
I'm saying to you that life is fleeting by. And this life is not going to be forever. Now, every one of us right now, are you listening? Every one of us right now are running our race, Hebrews chapter 12. Every one of us. We ought to run it the best we can. We ought to make sure we're running, not walking. We ought to make sure we're running and not over on the sidelines sipping on Gatorade. We need to make sure that we have the baton firmly placed in our hands. That we know the truth. We're not going to let go of the truth. I'm not talking about salvation here, folks. I'm talking about passing it on, if you understand. Because you don't hold the truth. The truth holds you. Amen. But I'm talking about the truth of God's word, making sure that those coming behind you have it unadulterated passed down to them. And we are to run faithfully. But the whole time we're to run, we're to be looking for Timothy's that we can pass it on to. So that when we are gone, the baton is still running around the racetrack. Do you see what Paul's telling Timothy? One of the most beautiful things here, and what a personal illustration this is. And obviously, I can't see a person's heart, but I know at least he's made a profession of faith. Praise God for it. But there's a gentleman that I had the privilege with Brother Keith Watts to visit with this week. I'm not going to give you his name and so on, but just a privilege to visit with him. He was a lost man. He was a man that Brother Jeter Watts took a very special interest in. And Brother Jeter Watts would sit right here on Saturday morning, and almost every Saturday morning he was here, he would call this man's name out for prayer. Pray for this man, pray for this man, pray for this man. Now you understand, I can't see this man's heart, but I do know that he's made a profession of faith now. So I'm not saying he's saved, but I'm saying this, if he meant it, he got saved. Praise God for it. The fact is, we sit there in his living room. I shared the gospel with this man this week. He came over, we're in his house. He came over and sat down right beside me. I opened the Bible. I was sharing scriptures with him. I was trying to lead him to Christ. And I got down to the end of the gospel. I'd shared with him what he needed to do. He acknowledged that that's what he needed to do. And I said, sir, I said, we're in your house. We'll do whatever you want us to do. But I said, would you like to receive Christ as your Savior? He didn't hesitate. He said, yes. He said, yes, I would. And he bowed his head and he asked Jesus Christ to come into his heart this week in the privacy of his home. Who is he? I'm not going to give you his name, but I will tell you this. He's a man that Brother Jeter Watts took a special interest in. And after I led this man to Christ, I looked at him and I said, sir, would you agree with me that Mr. Jeter Watts had a major influence in this? He said, yes, I would. He had a major influence in this. Here's a man who's with the Lord. I'm talking about Brother Jeter. And yet, he took an interest in passing the baton while he was living. This gentleman didn't grab it while he was living. But now that he's with the Lord, that baton that Brother Jeter helped to hand him, he has now grasped. And now he's running his race. That's what life's all about. It's about taking what somebody gave to you, and it's about making sure that it doesn't stop with you, but that it keeps on going. You pass it on. You pass it on. He's saying, I want you to consider, son, passing the truth on. Consider number one, the power you need. Consider number two, the passing of truth. Then consider number three, the pictures to illustrate. In verses 3-6, after Paul encourages Timothy to be strong in the power of the Lord, and he encourages him to pass the truth on to others, he then turns his attention to some powerful pictures to illustrate what Timothy was to be like. Now, in these pictures, we see different aspects of a Christian's life who is truly living according to the will of God for his or her life. Now, there are three distinct pictures he gives to illustrate to Timothy some important truths. Number one under this, he gives him the picture of a soldier. Look at verse number 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now, Paul tells Timothy that his Christian life is like that of a soldier.
Now, it's of special note here that a soldier has been in, is one who's been enlisted as a member of another's army. Now, Timothy had been enlisted in the army of the Lord, and so have all who have been saved. He tells Timothy to be a good soldier. Now, this word good here means to be valuable. It means to be virtuous, to be better, to be worthy, or to be meet. In other words, the Lord wants his children not only to be a soldier, that's salvation. He enlists you at salvation. You're a soldier when he saves you. But he wants you to become a good soldier. Now, the following are things for Timothy to consider about being a good soldier. First of all, under this, we're looking at the pictures to illustrate. Number one, the soldier. A soldier. Under this, two things about a soldier. First of all, we notice his characteristics. In verses 3 and 4, there are three specific characteristics that come out about a good soldier. That the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy, Timothy, you need to be strong in the Lord. There's the power you need. You need to understand that I've given you the truth. You're to take it, give it to faithful men. Who's to take it, give it to others. There's the passing of truth. Then he's saying, I'm going to give you some personal pictures just to paint a picture in your mind who you are. He's saying you're a soldier. You're to be a good one. And if you're going to be a good one, there's three things that's going to summarize your life. Number one, a good soldier stands through hardness. We see this in verse number 4. Look at it. No, excuse me, verse number 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, understand here that this means, where it says endure hardness, it means to undergo hardship. It means be afflicted or suffer trouble. It's common sense to understand that a soldier is not enlisted on a playground. He is enlisted in a fight. And with fighting comes hardships. With fighting comes troubles. It's not an easy thing to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Soldiers are separated from home. They're exposed to heat. They're exposed to cold. They're exposed sometimes to lack of food and many times in harm's way. However, they keep going in the midst of all of this. The point here is they do not give up. They don't let hard times cause them to stop running. They keep running when their side feels like it's about to pop out. When they're running and it's hurting and trials and hardships and afflictions, a good soldier will endure hardness. He stands through hardness. He does not quit. In the same way, it's important for all of us to understand that the Christian life is not a life of ease. It's not a life of comfort. It's a life of trouble and a life of hardships, just like everything else is. But in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can stand through these hardships and we can stand through these troubles. He's saying, Timothy, be strong in the Lord. There's the power you need. Consider the passing of truth. Somebody's given it to you. Now you make sure you give it to somebody else. And he's saying, in order to do that, you have to see yourself as a soldier. And God wants you to be a good soldier. And a good soldier stands through hardness. Secondly, a good soldier serves in the war. In verse number 4, it says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Notice the present tense there, warreth. By the way, you know what a soldier means? You know what the word soldier means here? It means a warrior or a camper outer. Not good English, but pretty good doctrine right there. I'm telling you, you know what the word warreth means? It means to serve in a military campaign. That's what it means. It says right here, no man serves in a military campaign. Get this. That's what the word war means. It means they're in a military campaign. That word warreth also means to contend or fight with carnal inclinations. This means Timothy was to understand again that he was in a war. He was to report for duty, to fight against the carnal inclinations that would come to him. He was to realize he was on a battlefield, not on a playground. And folks, in the same way, we who are in the family of God have enlisted into the battle for the glory of the Lord. And we are to report for duty on a daily basis, realizing that we are at war against the world.
We are at war against the flesh. We are at war against the devil. 1 Timothy 1:18, this charge I committed to thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Ephesians 6:11 and 12, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, 3-5, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Timothy's right here being instructed by Apostle Paul. He's saying, I'm giving you some things to consider, son. And consider the power you need. Consider the passing of truth. Consider the pictures to illustrate that if you want to pass this truth on, you have to have the power of God, because the Christian life is the life of a soldier. It's the life of a warrior. It's the life of a camper outer. It's the life of somebody who is involved in a military campaign. And God only wants you to be a soldier. He wants you to be a good one who stands through hardness, who serves in the war. And number three, he stays away from worldly affairs. Verse number four again. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. You know what's interesting here? That this word entangleth here means to entwine, to be involved with, to be preoccupied with. You know what the words affairs, the word affairs means here? It means transactions or negotiations. Now this is powerful. Now let me read it this way, because this is what this word means, these words. No man that warreth is entwined with, involved with, or preoccupied with the negotiations and transactions of this world. This goes to show that the good soldier of Jesus Christ does not get involved and does not get entwined with this world's negotiations. In other words, he stays away from the ways of the world. You know, in the same way, we who are God's children are to stay away from this world's wicked ways. We're not to get entangled with its sticky web. 1 John 2:15-16, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Let me ask you a question tonight. What negotiation is the world giving to you? The world tries to call you over and say, let's negotiate. Let's meet halfway. You don't have to come all the way. Let's just meet. I'll negotiate with you. You know what a good soldier does? He doesn't get entwined with that stuff. He doesn't get involved with it. Number one, under this, a good soldier's characteristics. Secondly, a good soldier's cause is brought out in verse number four. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Here's his cause now. And he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. Paul wanted Timothy to know that he had a cause in this life as a soldier. His cause was onefold: to please his commander. His commander is Jesus Christ, who had chosen him to be a soldier in the first place. Do you realize that back in this day, Roman soldiers were not allowed to marry? They weren't allowed to engage in husbandry or any kind of trade. They were forbidden as tutors to any person or curators to any man's estate, because all was thought to divert their minds from that which to be their sole object of pursuit. Their object in the Roman army was to approve themselves to the commander. His will was to be absorbed in the will of his commander. His purpose, talking about the soldier, was accomplished if he would meet with his commander's approval. The whole army was to be of one mind, one heart, and one purpose. And that mind, heart, and purpose was the heart, mind, and purpose of the commander. In other words, the soldiers were to have no separate will of their own. They were to have the will of their commander at heart.
You know, does this sound familiar to you? You know, it's amazing to me that down through the years there have been soldiers who have gone to death for the cause of a commander or a country. By the way, those who are going to their death to fight for the freedom of America, we need to salute them, praise God for them, pray for their families, and if anybody doesn't like it, let them move. Let them go somewhere else. I'm telling you, we need to praise God for these men and women who are putting their life on the line. But I'm telling you that not only American soldiers, there were people who worked for Adolf Hitler who went to the death because they wanted Adolf Hitler to be pleased. Shame on God's children when somebody has more commitment to Adolf Hitler than the Lord Jesus Christ. Shame on people when they have more commitment to their country than they do Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, we don't need to downplay anything for country. And I'm not. If you think I am, you don't know me very well. But I'm saying Christ is more important than any country on the face of the earth. And I'm telling you that he's saying, Timothy, your cause is onefold. You're not going after many things. He's saying the one thing you're after is that you may please him who had chosen you to be a soldier. I wonder tonight, what is causing you to tick? What is your purpose? What's your cause in life? Some people say, well, to get rich, to live large, to have a good family, to make sure everybody's healthy. If that's your cause, you've missed it. I'm telling you, our cause ought to be that a smile will be on the face of Jesus Christ who's been good to us. That's our cause. That's why it doesn't matter what somebody else thinks about you. It doesn't really matter what somebody says about you. All that really matters is what does God say about you? Is God pleased with you? Is the Lord Jesus Christ, is he smiling when he thinks about you tonight? Are you pleasing him with your life? Are you doing what he wants you to do? Hebrews 11:5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, Enoch, that he pleased God. Now I'm going to tell you something, folks. You want me to tell you what I'd like for somebody to say at my funeral sometime? If God gives you breath and some reason you preach it, if God knocked me out and took me out tonight and I'm stretched out right here, one thing that's in my heart is that somebody could say, not necessarily you, but God would say, son, I'll tell you one thing, you please me. Amen. That's life, folks. That's all that really matters. Are we pleasing God? He's giving pictures to illustrate. And he's saying, the first picture I want you to understand and I want you to see, he's saying that God has made you a soldier, Timothy. And God wants you to be a good soldier. And if you're going to be a good one, then what that means is that you're going to stand through hardness. You're going to serve in this war. And you're going to stay away from worldly affairs. And you're going to be consumed with one thing. And that is pleasing your commander. That's it. Then he gave a second picture in verse number 5. And that is the picture of an athlete. Verse number 5, and a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Now Paul mentions to Timothy that an athlete who is competing is not crowned unless he competes within the rules. For instance, every athlete today, every athletic event today has specific rules that must be followed. In the same way, for instance, football, basketball, whatever, it doesn't matter what it is, track, whatever it is. There's rules, there's guidelines. And in the same way, there are awards to be won in the Christian life at Judgment Day. Now listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I want some of those awards. You ought to too. Amen. I want some of them. But Timothy was to understand that he must live according to the rules of his God in order to have a full reward. Now folks, in the same way, we all have a Judgment Day coming, every one of us. Now, praise God if you're not going to the great white throne. That's for non-believers. If you're going to the judgment seat, praise God. You know what that means? That means you're saved. You're going to heaven when you die. But we should have a desire at the judgment seat of Christ to have a full reward on that day. In order to have it, we must live within the rules of the Master. This goes to show that we are to be familiar with the rule book. The rule book for the child of God is the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 9:25 to 27, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway." He's saying, Timothy, let me give you some pictures to illustrate. You're a soldier. You've been enlisted into the Lord's army. And God wants you now to be a good one. If you're going to be a good one, that means you're going to stand through hardness, son. That means, son, you're going to serve in the war. You're going to understand this is not a playground, it's a battlefield. And number three, you're going to stay away from worldly affairs. And you're not going to be consumed with the church there. You're not going to be consumed with other people. You're going to be consumed with what God thinks about you. Are you pleasing the Lord? On top of that, God also sees you as an athlete. He's given you something to compete for. You're not competing against somebody else. You're just competing to see if you get that award or not. And he's saying in order to get that award, it's just like sports down here. There are certain rules you must abide by. And he's saying, son, God's given you some rules. Live by them. Then picture number three is a farmer. In verse number six, the husbandman, that means a farmer, that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Now Paul goes on to share with Timothy that he's like a farmer who's to labor. You know what that word labor means? It means to feel fatigue. It means to work hard or be weary, be tired. In other words, Paul is telling Timothy that just like a farmer who works hard, plows, sows, tends, and waits, and now he's the first partaker of the fruits of his labor, even so he is to be a preacher who works hard and plants and sows and tends and waits, because one day he will reap the fruit of his labor. You know, all of God's children need to take comfort and encouragement in the fact that there's a great day coming in the future. And we are to keep our hands on the plow and keep planting and keep sowing and keep tending and keep waiting, for that day is coming. 1 Corinthians 3:13 and 14. "Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward." 2 John 1:8, "Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward." Now let me paraphrase in these pictures what he's saying. A soldier, several things under it. An athlete, stay within the rules. A farmer, put your hand on the plow and keep it there, because you're the first partaker of the fruits. Now, in these pictures, he's instructing and inspiring Timothy as to what he is to be and his reward in the future. Now get this. If he is to conquer, he must fight. There's the soldier. If he's to win, he must compete within the rules. There's the athlete. If he's to reap, then he's to sow. There's the farmer. We can all learn from these things. You know, in these verses, Paul is giving Timothy some things to consider. And as I'm coming to a close here, doesn't mean you are now, okay? But as I'm coming to a close, some things that Paul gives Timothy to consider is the power he needs. He's saying, son, do you recognize that the life God's given you to live is beyond your strength? You need God. Secondly, the passing of truth. He's saying, Timothy, remember and consider that what you have was given to you so you can guard it and in turn give it away. Number three, the pictures to illustrate. If you're going to guard it and give it away and understand you need his power, you need to see what God sees you as. You're a soldier, Timothy. God wants you to be a good one. He wants you to stand in hardness, serve in the war, stay away from worldly affairs. And he wants you to go through life concerned about one thing, and that is simply pleasing him. He sees you as an athlete, Timothy. And just like an athlete has to strive within the rules, God has given you some rules. Stay in them. He also sees you as a farmer, Timothy. Which means that you are to keep sowing. You're to keep plowing. Because the farmer is the first one to partake of his fruits. And if you will plow and sow and wait, there's a reward that's waiting on you, boy. Keep plowing. Keep sowing. Keep going. Do you get the message tonight? Consider. 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 Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Our Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for the power of your word. Lord, how it instructs us today, how it guides our thoughts. And I pray that you'll help us to heed the teaching of this, of these opening seven verses of chapter 2. Help us, Lord, to serve you. And help us to please you. Help us now, Lord, to lead this invitation the way that honors you, I pray. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. I wonder tonight, are you in the family of God? Do you know the Lord? Has there been a time when you trusted Christ and Christ alone? If there hasn't, you understand that you don't have to be in a church to trust the Lord. You can trust the Lord anywhere the Lord is dealing with you. I simply invite him to come into your heart and forgive your sin, being your Lord and Savior. One reason we try to invite people to come forward in a church service for salvation is so we can take a Bible and share with them how they can know the Lord as their Savior. Maybe that's somebody here tonight. If you're lost, I wouldn't wait another day. I'd trust the Lord before it's too late. Or maybe you're here tonight and you say, Jody, I've been trying to do it in my own strength. And I realize I cannot overcome that, or I cannot stand that hardship. I cannot take that in my own strength. I've got to have God's power. That's the first thing that Paul was telling Timothy to consider, if you remember. Be strong. And he went on to say, in the grace of Christ Jesus. Not in your own strength, but in the strength and grace of God. Maybe you haven't been passing the truth down the way that you need to. Well, maybe God has reminded you of your Paul tonight. Your Paul may already be in heaven. Your Paul may already be with Jesus Christ. Some of mine are. Maybe some of yours are. Maybe the Lord is dealing with your heart about how they fought to give the truth to you. And now the baton is in your hands, and you're to run and run and run and run. Stay with it and give it to others. I wonder tonight, as God looks at you, if you're saved, he sees a soldier. You understand that, don't you? But I wonder tonight, does he see a good one? Does he see a good soldier? See, he said, be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It's a great thing to be known as a soldier. That means you're saved. God wants you to be a good one. I wonder, does he see you as a good one? Are you an athlete that's staying within the guidelines, staying within the rules? And I wonder, as a farmer, is your hand on the plow? Are you still plowing? Are you still sowing? Are you still tending? Are you still going? Whatever the Lord may be dealing with you about, may the Lord help you. May God help me. No doubt about it. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, take the thought, take the message. Help us all to consider what Paul told Timothy to consider. Speak to us. Do business with us in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing, if God is dealing with you, leave your place and come now. Would you do it?
Have thine own way.
Come on now, folks.
Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the God.
Standing, I'd like you to look this way. They're playing through. You all know the Paul. You may have more than one. I had more than one. Have you all know Paul in your life? You understand what I'm asking? I'm talking about the one who gave it to you. Would you raise your hand? You know Paul? Now I'm going to challenge you with this. Who's your Timothy? Who's your Timothy? See, the beautiful thing is I'm Timothy, but in other people's lives, I'm Paul now. Do you see that? Somebody gave it to me, but now we're working up through that, and we who were Timothy are now Paul. Who's your Timothy? That's a message right there. By the way, if you have children, I'll give you a head start. Start right there. You have grandchildren, let me give you another head start. Start right there. If you have a bus route, let me give you another head start. Start with those bus kids. You have a Sunday school class, let me help you. Start with your Sunday school class. Hey, I'm saying this. God wants us to take what's been given. Listen, God didn't allow somebody to give it to us for us to sit on it. He wants us to give it out to others. And he wants us to do it as a good soldier, as an athlete, as a farmer. We're going to conquer, but to conquer we must fight. We want to win, but to win we must get in the game. We want to reap, but if we're going to reap, we must sow. We've got to keep going. May God help us with this. Let's sing that last verse together. There's still time for you. If this is it, we'll close. If not, there's time for you. Let's sing that last verse together.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Christ only, always living in me.
Hope you'll be back Wednesday night. Let me remind the teachers of the special teachers meeting Wednesday night, 6:30. And I hope you'll be back in your place on Wednesday night, praying for this week. I'm going to ask Brother Mike Dotson, sir, God bless you. And I'm going to ask you to close us in prayer tonight, please.